Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you very much. Yes, a long time away. I think it's been about 2.5 years since I was last back with you all. So yes, I think I've lost a little bit of weight during that time. I've met up with numerous people who said, oh, we need to fatten you up while you're here. So yes, I've got a busy 5 weeks ahead of me. But it's great to be here with you this morning. Let me start by saying a massive thank you for all your ongoing support and prayers for the ministry in Trinidad, Bolivia. It's a massive blessing to myself and the work that goes on out there. Let me second that by apologizing that this morning is probably going to go on a little bit longer than your normal Sunday service. I will do my best to keep this presentation short, but at the same time, I don't want to shortchange you in the work that goes on out there. I want you to have a full understanding of what it is that we do so that you know what you're partnering in, because you're very much a part of the ministry that goes on out there. So I want you to really fully understand how it works, the ways that it works, and where your prayers and support are going and the impact that that's having. So if you're tired of my voice, I do apologize for that. I'm only here for 1 week with you. So please do bear with me for this presentation and in the sermon a little bit later on. So that's my plan this morning. I want to walk through the various ministries that we have going on out there, highlight the work that we do. I'll then share a couple of personal examples of how the work all comes together. And then I'll briefly explain some of the things that we have planned for 2025. Is that okay? Does that sound good? Perfect. So to recap, for those who don't know, I am in Bolivia, a country located at the heart of South America. Population size just over 12 million people, and the language spoken is Spanish. It's a vast country that ranges from the Amazon in the north to the Andes Mountains in the west, and then down touching the wine country of Argentina in the south. Trinidad, where I'm based, is located in the north of Bolivia and is an isolated city right on the edge of the Amazon rainforest. It's a growing city of around 120,000 people. That was according to the latest census just done. But despite its grow in size, Trinidad is still one of the most underdeveloped cities within Bolivia. Bolivia itself is one of the most underdeveloped countries in South America. So you can imagine Trinidad as a whole is rather underdeveloped. Water is still pumped directly from wells, meaning you can't drink any of the tap water. You have to buy bottled water throughout the city. Open sewers still run throughout the streets. The majority of roads are made out of mud, which isn't ideal in the rainy season, but something that we learn to deal with. Alongside the complicated living conditions, you have social problems such as a healthcare system on the brink of collapse, schools overcrowded and underfunded, domestic violence, alcohol and drugs, all common problems but experiences that most people face in the city. The climate is tropical, meaning we get two seasons. We get the dry season and we get the rainy season. Both of them have an average temperature of between 30 to 35 degrees most of the year round. Our winter lasts about 4 or 5 days, where it drops to 18, 19 degrees. So it was a surprise getting off the plane on Tuesday and feeling the temperatures here once again. Obviously, this weather brings in some different wildlife that arrives at your door, some wanted more than others. The tarantulas and the scorpions are less wanted. The sloths, the monkeys, the capybara, and the parrots are always welcome. This building is known as the Fundación Totaí, or the Foundation Totaí. Totaí is a local fruit that grows throughout Trinidad, but specifically in our neighborhood. And it's a fruit that flourishes in extreme conditions. So it's a wonderful metaphor of the work that we're trying to do out there. We're located on the outskirts of the city center, slightly towards the north. From this building, we run pretty much all of our different ministries. Our neighborhood is one of the poorer neighborhoods in the city, with the average wage being between £1 to £2 a day. Unemployment is high, and so is the illiteracy rate amongst kids and adults in our community. the rate of domestic violence and abuse in general, whether that be physical, sexual, or abandonment to children in our neighborhood is higher than the city average. Statistically, it's 0.9 out of one person will have experienced abuse by the time that they're 18 years old, which is pretty much one in one. So nearly everyone that we work with at some point would have experienced some form of abuse. So what do we do to serve our community, to love our neighbour, to equip and empower the next generation to try and break this cycle of abuse and poverty? Well, firstly, we have El Jireh Church. This is our local church. Why do I mention the church first? Because we want the church and the gospel to be front and centre of everything we do. Only true transformation, both personally and collectively in our community, comes from knowing and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. It's only in God's strength and filled with the Holy Spirit that our lives around us will be transformed. So the church has to be front and centre. Not an afterthought, not a Sunday activity that we do, front and centre of the work in our community. With the good news of the gospel flowing out from everything that we do. Our church on an average Sunday will have between 30 and 50 people, a majority new Christians. It's very common in Bolivia, especially in Trinidad, for kids and teenagers to come to church first, accept Christ as their saviour, and then invite their parents or grandparents to come along later on. This means the average age of our church is slightly lower, and it also means that we're working with very new Christians who haven't grown up in churches but have wanted to come along and experience the love of God. At the end of last year, I moved on from leading the children's ministry, which I had been doing for around 4 years. I now take up more of an assistant pastor's role within the church, helping with preaching and teaching and leading various courses throughout the church. The leadership team is made up of four of us. There's myself, there's an American missionary called Ramon, and there's two Bolivians called Miguel and Rudy, who are involved in the preaching and the leadership of the church as well. During the school holidays, we run a holiday club for the kids in our community. We get around 100 kids attending each day that we do this club, where we play games, we sing songs, we do various crafts, but most importantly, we share the gospel message with them as well. And through that holiday club, a number of the kids continue to attend the church on a Sunday morning as well. The children's ministry on a Sunday morning will have between 25 to 35 kids attending, and they meet in a separate room to the actual other church itself. Monday to Fridays, we have a medical clinic that in the year of 2024, just gone, we treated just under 10,000 patients. Healthcare in Bolivia isn't free. The average person with the wage that they earn is unable to afford public healthcare. So we offer various different types of treatments at a lower cost. So something that would normally cost you £20 in a government hospital, we would do for £5 to try and make healthcare more affordable for the people in our community. It's a Christian medical clinic, and those who run it and the majority who work there are all part of our church, all part of the El Jireh Church. So the clinic shares our vision and our morals and our values in the community as well. We offer things such as dentistry, pediatrics, general medical. We do heart care, eyes, nose, ears, therapy as well. So we have a whole range of different medical cares that go on throughout the week and specialists who work with us in that. This is our futsal program. Futsal is five-a-side football. It's very physical, very fast pace, and is held on a pitch about the same size as a basketball court. So it's not your standard 11-a-side long games. It's much smaller, much more compact, much faster paced. I've been working closely with this project over the last 4 or 5 years. And at the end of last year, I was delighted to be given the lead role in the program. We have 4 training days a week, 3 sessions in the afternoon and 1 session in the evening each day that we run training. It's completely free and open for anyone to take part aged between 5 to 16. We have around 75 kids that attend training over the various sessions that we run. We have four teams competing in a local tournament as well. We have the under 8s, the under 10s, the under 11s and under 13s that all take part in a competition that plays weekly. For my first 4 or 5 years in Trinidad, we would train on a pitch outside of our community, about a 10-minute walk away from our neighbourhood. But this year we started work on constructing our own on-site training pitch so that the futsal ministry can be at the heart of the community and we can aim to reach more kids from our neighbourhood. We believe that futsal should be accessible to all, regardless of your background. So if kids come to us without trainers or without suitable clothes, we're able to provide them with the needed trainers or clothes so that they're able to take part in our programme. We also work closely with the medical clinic, meaning any kids that are registered to us receive free healthcare within the clinic. This isn't accessible anywhere else in Trinidad, so we're delighted to be able to offer that resource to them. We run campaigns such as multivitamin campaigns, which means at the end of each training, a kid can receive a multivitamin tablet to help with their physical development. We also have doctors and dentists that come to speak to us every 6 months or so. They speak with the kids about the importance of looking after your body, looking after your health as well. And most importantly, we have devotional talks at the end of each training session throughout the week. We're able to share a short gospel message with the kids. And we have around 10 to 15 kids who attend the church from the futsal ministry on a regular basis. Alongside the futsal program, I lead the educational support classes. These classes are run by our employed teacher, Carla, who works one-to-one with the kids who are behind on their reading, writing, and maths. This program started around about 2 years ago, when during one of our holiday clubs, I realized one of the kids that we had worked with for numerous years wasn't able to read or write, not even his own name, and he was 10 at the time. So this got us thinking, what good are we doing if kids are coming to our futsal program for years and years and years, they leave, but they're still not able to read and write? Because the reality is they're not going to go on and make a living from football, or the majority of them aren't going to go on and make a living from football. So yes, we love that they come to football. We love that they enjoy football. We want to be competitive, sure, all of that. But we also want to set them up right for the future as well. So if they're not able to read, if they're not able to write, if they're behind in school, then we have a duty of care to them to help in that area as well. Which is why we started this program. We hired a teacher and she works with the kids who are behind. I go to local schools, I find out which kids are behind, which kids are failing the year, and then we bring them into the program and we get them the help they need. And so far we've put 7 kids through our system, all who were failing the school year, all who then went on to pass the school year, the kids who were unable to read and write who are now able to read and write. During COVID, one of the things that we realized that was hurting the city most was the lack of food supplies. Trinidad is very reliant on imports from other cities. We import fruit, vegetables, and basic rice, potatoes, all sorts is imported into the city. We decided that in order to counteract this, we would start our own community garden. We felt that Trinidad should be producing its own fruit and vegetables and rice and everything that we need to support ourselves so that if problems do arise again in the future, we're able to support one another. So we decided to open this community garden. We hired a man from the church who looks after the project. He waters the fruits, grows the seeds, all sorts. I don't know what the technical terms are. I just dig where he asks me to dig, and that's about my role within the garden. But we produce a whole range of different fruits and vegetables throughout the year. We give around about 30% of it away for free for people that we know in our church community or in our local community that are really struggling at a particular time. We're able to give them support for free. We then sell the rest at a discounted cost and use that money to buy more seeds and more materials for the community garden so that it's self-sustainable. We also run a women's support group. I don't have any photos of that group, as our policy is to aim to protect the women who are vulnerable, so we don't take photos of that group. But they meet every Saturday afternoon. They make jewelry, they make cards, they do different kind of arts and crafts, which they then sell at local fairs in order to support the group. So that group meets every Saturday. They have access to therapy as well. They get all the benefits of the health clinic for free as well, as we aim to support them in their difficult situations. Finally, throughout the year, we run different courses. We have music courses for kids in our community. We have sign language courses and we have English classes that run throughout the year. Myself and another volunteer from Wales, a lady called Katie, we run the English classes throughout the week. And then we have different specialists come in and teach different musical instruments. And we have a lady from our church who is a specialist in sign language. And so she teaches sign language courses throughout the church as well, with the aim of making the gospel inclusive for everyone. One of the things we realized, the lady started coming to our church, her daughter's deaf. And she really wanted her daughter to be able to worship in a place where she felt welcome. But if no one knows sign language, it's very difficult to feel welcome in a place. So we got together with the church and thought, well, we could learn sign language. So we started putting on the course, and from there it grew and grew and grew. And now we offer it citywide to people who are interested in learning sign language. So that's all the various ministries that we do, we get up to. That's the work that I'm involved in on a weekly basis. I hope that makes some sort of sense to the work that goes on there. So to try and bring it all together and show you how it fits together, I have two examples for you. Let me start by saying I have permission to share the story of these two boys. They're very happy for me to show their photos. They're very happy for me to use their names. Let me also say, I share these stories not looking for sympathy, but to give thanks to God, not only for the lives of these two boys, but also for the work that goes on throughout the community project that we have going on. So we start with Santiago. Santiago is 11 years old. Just over a year ago, his mum died of cancer, and his dad abandoned him and his five siblings to go start a new family in another city. Left to fend for themselves, the kids moved in with their grandma, who lives in our neighborhood. Unable to feed the kids, the grandma comes to the Fundación in search of work to help her provide for the kids. We were able to give her a job as a cleaner in the medical clinic, meaning that she has an income to help support her grandchildren. Through working with her and getting to know her, we found out that Santiago hasn't been to school in over 3 years and is unable to read or write. He also has no documents. He has no ID. He has no birth certificate, which means registering him in any school is practically impossible. He spent the next year working every day with Carla in our educational program. He received free dental care and free health checkups at our clinic and joined the futsal program. Soon he became our top scorer and a key player in our under-13s team. Over the last 6 months, I've been working tirelessly with lawyers, helping to try and get him documents and birth certificates, which are needed, normally signed for by parents, but with the parents not being around, we fought tooth and nail to be able to get him those documents. And I'm delighted to say that in January this year, Santiago attended school for the first time in over 3 years. We were able to provide him with uniform, shoes, and all the supplies he needs. But best of all, 6 months ago, Santiago attended our church for the first time, and he's not missed a Sunday since. Every day he grows in his faith and in the knowledge that he has a Father in heaven who loves him unconditionally and will never leave him. Santiago still lives with a lot of trauma, and at times, understandably, can be difficult and problematic. But we love him so much. And he's been a massive blessing in my life over the last year and a half of working with him. Then we turn to Tiago. Don't be fooled by his size. Tiago is older than Santiago, having just turned 12. Santiago's mum and dad are both separated and both drug addicts. For many years, Tiago would walk from where his dad was staying to where his mum was staying in search of a place to call home. often rejected at both locations, he would end up at his grandma's house, who was already looking after seven of his siblings. And in reality, his grandma didn't have space for him either. Tiago joined the Futsal Academy and used us as his safe space to escape the troubles of home life. After connecting with him and learning his story through the futsal program, we were able to support the grandma and the kids with food from the community garden. We provided clothes, shoes, and educational support to help Tiago flourish. Tiago attends the church and each week hears the gospel message that he has a Father in heaven that delights to call him son, that in God he has a place to call home, and a Savior that loves him so much and was willing to die on a cross to save him. Unfortunately, these are not uncommon stories of the kids that we work with. Although it's just two examples here, there are countless others that I could give. But we praise God for the opportunity that we've been given to work in this community, to be the salt and light in that community, so that people might come to know the love, joy, peace, and hope that there is in Christ Jesus. So as we walk with them practically every day, using things such as the medical clinic, the futsal program, the educational support, the community garden, we also walk with them in giving them the gospel. Because we know that only true transformation will come through the gospel. So that, yes, we will be there if they need anything physically, we will be there. But we also want them to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we pray every day for transformation in our community. So I hope that gives you an idea of how the various projects all come together holistically to support those in our community, with the gospel being at the front and center of everything that we do. So going forward, just quickly, some of the things that we have coming up over 2025 and beyond. We're looking to relaunch our youth group. We're looking to start a discipleship course within the church. We're continuing to develop our on-site training facility. We're hoping to go with artificial grass, because during the rainy season, the normal grass pitch turns to a swamp. So it's better if we're able to get artificial grass in there. We're looking to start a clothes bank where we can continue to support kids who don't have the clothes that they need on a daily basis. A start of school supplies program each year. When schools go back, we want to be able to support the families in our community with books, pens, pencils. It's very common for kids to go back to school with absolutely nothing on day one. The school don't provide anything. They're all completely underfunded themselves. We have cases of kids not having a desk to work at, so we've provided desks for schools because the government don't fund education within Bolivia. So we're really looking to support schools and education within our community. And we're also wanting to start a weekly hot meal program as well, which kids could come to for the low cost of 10p, which is 2 Bolivianos. They would be able to buy a soup and a hot meal. And if they don't have the 2 people, we'll be able to give it to them anyway. But the idea would be that they come and they contribute 2 Bolivianos, and then we use that to buy more fruit and more veg and things for the weekly meals as well. So they're the various programs that we have earmarked for the year ahead. Your prayers over the next 5 weeks would be greatly appreciated. I'm here for, like I said, 5 more weeks. I'm here, there and everywhere, preaching at different churches, speaking at different events. So your prayers for that would be greatly appreciated. For the leadership team at El Jurey, as we continue to seek how we can best be the salt and light, be God's people in the community around us, and for the ongoing ministries that we have in Trinidad. So thank you so much once again for your support and for your prayers.